Hello, and welcome to X-Rated, the X-Men Animated Review Show, Series Retrospective, and Awards Show.
Yay!
We're going to call them the X-ies.
Yeah. I like that. That's not a bad name.
Yep. And I'm going to change that right now. And X-ie Awards.
You just came up with that literally right now, didn't you?
Nope, but I forgot to write it in.
Ah, that makes more sense.
Yeah,
welcome to the show, everybody, and welcome back to Dave Cutler. I would say Dave must be our most visited guest. Is he? Has he been on the show the most of our guests?
I think at this, how many times you've been on, Dave? Dave, cousin Dave was on 3 times.
By gum, it's been a while.
Yeah, I think you probably are.
This is probably time 4.
I was going to say this is 3 or 4, yeah. So that makes sense.
Yes, and we have our guest tonight, David Cutler, for this retrospective. You feeling retrospective tonight, Dave?
I'm feeling some kind of a way.
Perfect.
Nice and vague.
Andre never feels any kind of a way. So
I am cold and distant. I am an emotionless emotion. I am a sea of tranquility.
pretty much exactly
That's me. Oh, man. Super excited to have you back on. Old times.
What you think they're doing up there?
I still love that so much. That quote might be the best one. This is just so ridiculous.
There's an award for that tonight.
I know. What you think they're doing up there?
What are you doing up there, Dave?
I know you got a book coming out.
Pretty excited about that.
What were they doing up there at the end of that quote?
That was it was Asteroid M is what he was talking about. When all the mutants were going off to Asteroid M.
They're talking all serious about it and shit. They're like, oh, then they're bringing mutants up there and they're like starting a revolution. He just cuts in. He's just like, what you think they doing up there? It's just like, well, you're not helping here, Gambit. Like, just get.
They do so many things, they never stop doing them. My stars.
Yeah. Doing all
you
the
don't
things,
know, Gambit. You don't know Charles, do you? No.
Yeah. tell the ex-goons about your book. Coming out.
Oh yeah, tomorrow is it's a mouthful. It's What If Dark Tomb of Dracula number one. It's a one shot, 30 pages. Mark Wolfman wrote it. I penciled it and inked 5 pages, and then a small army inked and colored it.
Were you too slow, or is it just there was like a time period they needed done?
It was both. I got the script kind of late, and then I was slow. So most of it is Scott Hanna inking, but there's me and another guy.
Oh, cool. And what was like working for the illustrious Marv Wolfman?
Pretty cool. He's like an older school guy, so it was like a shade above a Marvel style script. Really, a Marvel style script is like, originally it was like a loose plot outline, but then it became like a page by page kind of breakdown. And he did do panels for the most part, except for the double page spreads. It was all very relying on the artist to, like, there was like scenes where like I had to pick the setting and stuff. So it was a different experience, but it was pretty cool, pretty fun.
I'm gonna say sounds pretty freeing. You probably get to, you know, don't get that sort of unshackled liberty that often, I guess.
Yeah. No, it was cool. It was cool to work with the living legend, Marv Wolfman himself.
So what it's called, What If Dark Tomb of Dracula. So it was like, were What If stories not dark enough? They had to throw the word dark to make it a darker version of What If in front of it. Like
they started it in August. There was like a What If Dark Gwen Stacy, Spider-Gwen, and a What If Dark.
They always turn pretty dark. That was the beauty of What Ifs. It was almost like, you know, if Spider-Man took a left instead of a right at the lights, like half of the New York died. That's like how most of the old What Ifs were.
I'm not sure what the thinking is, but
I love skimming through those because, like, what if Spider-Man kept his six arms and it's like the Fantastic Four are dead now? It's like, why, how did this happen? Yeah, like, it's always something to that effect. You know, or like the what if the Punisher killed, I mean, that was obviously supposed to be, you know, a big thing, but what if Punisher like killed the Marvel Universe? Like, that one's just him blowing people away left and right.
So, does anyone have any opening retrospective statements before we get into our X points?
About just X-Men in general?
Or our award ceremony, perhaps?
No. So, I mean, I guess we kind of wrapped it up on the last episode of the series, in which we, you know, we all pledged we would kill ourselves at the end of this episode. And I mean, I know David didn't get that memo, but I'm hoping he's on board.
He's worked with Marv Wolfman now.
Dave's like, I'm super okay with it. That'd be a hell of a way to end the show. In this play I was just in, it ends with what seemingly seems to be me shooting myself in another room, and then I come out to reveal I didn't. But I told the guy that watches through the door and kind of reacts when he thinks I'm dead, I said, on the last night, I'm actually just going to, because he sees me standing backstage, I said, I'm just going to do it. I said, I'll just pull a real gun out and just blow my head up and just see how the end of that, like, it'd be the ultimate end to a play and just really, like, you know, really go out with a bang. Someday. No, I'm excited to chat about the show. It's nice to have a retrospective of, you know, 5 years seasons of this show. And I guess we'll save all my ruminations on the series more so as we go along. But I'd say if I
point for the end.
We have X points for this one?
Well, I didn't think of any.
Okay,
you?
I was going to say, no, I'm woefully unprepared. Okay,
so let's skip that then.
All right. My only comment was going to be, I expect it, you know, like the diamond in the rough thing, I expect it to have a lot more rough and a lot less diamonds than we actually got. I was actually quite diamonds. Surprised at the end of the series. Even at season 5, which is universally maligned by most fans, like, there was a lot of good in there, and way more than I expected. So
that I don't remember, but... seasons 1 to 4, I'm with you.
In 5, there's some decent, I mean, we can chat about it as we go along, but in 5, there's, I mean, the animation certainly takes a hard tank after the what do you call that stuff? The Warlock, the Phalanx storyline. But, you know, it's yeah. Even Jubilee's Fairy Tale Theater I didn't hate as much as I thought they would. Oh, you found the scores?
No, I'm a new one. Cousin Dave did me up a template. I didn't quite have time to finish it. I'm halfway through season 4. I have to go.
A lot of zeros towards the end. A lot of zeros. Yeah. Really
peters off there.
Is there a 4.3? What the hell?
But I'll have it finished by next episode. Oh, long shot. We didn't like that one.
How do we get points? I guess it's an average. All right.
But, so it's there. We can go through that a bit later, too, but I don't want it to color the awards.
Man, that episode is almost completely out of my head. It was so bad.
But almost finished it. Actually, I was most of the way through season 4. And cool. Season 5 is still pretty fresh, so by next episode, I'll have it done. But we have a chart now, and all X-Men Evolution.
We're coming into the millennia. We got charts. We're really up and coming. We're on the cutting edge of technology here.
Exactly.
AI could be doing this show for us, but we got charts. That's what we're
welcome at. to the first XE Awards, X-Men TAS edition. Woo!
Surely you've learned by now that there is no more important work than teaching the young.
Charles is so idealistic. For a guy that's seen as much hatred and bigotry as he has, he's just like, you know, I just love that he holds on to his idealism all the way through.
Well, he doesn't finish his thought there. He wants to teach the young how to be child soldiers.
Oh, of course. Well, that's key. I mean, he wants to teach them to follow his iron rule.
Well, so the way we're going to do this award ceremony here is Andre and I will each bring a nomination, and perhaps we will agree for each of these awards. And if there isn't an agreement, our guest, Dave Cutler here, will decide the winner of the award.
Oh, Dave's the impartial judge.
I think there are some clear right and wrong answers to some of these, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
well it's good because I don't think I've looked at the list recently, so we'll see how this pans out.
Well, first we have some X-Goons Choice Awards for our Patreon X-Goons.
Ooh.
We had four X-Goon Choice Awards. So our first award of the night is who makes the best fake names?
So just this is just like our profile names when we come on?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, obviously it's me.
Obviously it's me, but we had a lot of abstentions on this one. So it's actually split 50-50.
Shut up. There's no way.
Yeah, so there is no winner, but I'll have you know the vote for you was actually a coin flip. So at least my vote was real.
The vote for me was a coin flip? What do you mean? Yeah. Oh, somebody said to flip a coin?
Yeah, X-Goon. Well,
then you should win. You should win if that's the case. However, I do think objectively mine were more clever.
All right, I'll take the win just because your best one was a gift from me, buddy.
Andre Bertuzzi, that was pretty great. Yes, one. It was pretty great, I must say.
All right. Yay for me then. All right. Best review guest. Oh, Dave, you're in this one.
Oh god.
Well, my vote's Dave, actually.
You don't get to vote, but Dave, you unfortunately came in second.
Oh no. Adam Gorham.
Nope. X-Man Dan. Clear winner. X-Man Dan is loved by the X-Goons.
X-Man Dan is the one who came X-Man in Dan. Over the people that work for Marvel. Not that I don't love X-Man Dan, but it's just, wow.
We've That's got surprising. Nothing to offer the world.
You got lots.
Tons. X-Man Dan. So congratulations, X-Man Dan.
I'll see you in hell.
I'd love if Dave just took this incredibly personally and just got like ridiculously upset. He just started throwing shit and screaming, like ripping stuff off the wall. What?
I was robbed.
He's already drinking the Kool-Aid.
And he gets super angry too. He's like, you bullshit show and you fuckers. Like, he just started screaming, like, just talking to Stan and Lois. It'd be so good.
It's politics. Like, it's all politics.
It's all politics. That is true.
X-Man Dan's a political
City player. Hall, buddy. You can't fight City Hall.
Best interview. What do you think this one's going to be? The winner is Eric and Julia Leewald with 50% of the vote.
That was like the first one.
Yep.
That was very
Storm long. Got a vote, and so did Lawrence.
I would assume Allison Lawrence would. I'm surprised Lenore didn't.
There's a lot of good interviews to choose from there, yeah. But the Leewalds, the people love it. All right.
Personally, what was your favorite, Devin? Do some side notes. Oh, I mean, we are doing a retrospective here, so.
You know, probably Allison.
Oh, yeah, I guess Storm is your person. You know, I think mine, actually, everybody was great. Like, nobody's better than, I like Lawrence a lot. Yeah, he was super fun. But I actually really liked Adrian Huff. I thought he was
great too.
Super cool guy. And
you bailed halfway through that interview to deal with your cat being poisoned by Drano, which
I came
upset
back.
Both Adrian and I.
He wasn't, she Drano was, she was, she
very environmentally she, unfriendly.
She wasn't poisoned and she was fine. In fact,
the environment was the environment. Bench. She, as in Mother Earth, was poisoned, Andre. Anyway.
Okay, well, have you know, it's been fixed. The drain, right. The drain was, a new thing was put in. It hasn't happened again. So,
and best segment of our show.
Hmm.
And for that one,
it's going to be X points.
This out. It's one is actually a four-way split, so you're going to have to decide this one, Dave.
Hmm.
So X points got a vote. Party Like It's Apostrophe 97 got a vote. X casting got a vote, and
X-Casting was
this
fun.
Out got a vote. So you can choose between those four and decide the winner. There, Dave.
It's X points for the win.
X points for the win. Well,
that one certainly, because that one was every episode. So yes, it was far more prolific than any of the others.
Well, hey, check this out. It's every episode.
That's true. Actually, that one was fun. It is nice to bring other stuff to the table.
So thanks for your votes there at Patreon, X-Goons. We love you. And now let's move on to our next award. The more like the Razzie of the X-ies. The worst episode.
What, yeah, the worst episode of our show? The
worst episode.
Or the worst episode of X. Show. Okay, I think you meant of our show. I was going to say all of them. They're all tied. All of them,
yeah.
The worst episode of the entire show. Oh, it's got to be More Like Christmas. I'm sorry, Dave. I know you have
Infinity
War. No, it's not More Like Christmas.
It's so bad.
I disagree.
No, it's, I gave that like an incredibly low score, did I not? Because I remember I hated it.
I didn't get there in my chart. I didn't get to more love.
It was very bad. It was very bad. Okay. I think it's got to be More Like Christmas for me. That one stands out in my head as being the worst one.
For me, it's definitely Secrets Not Long Buried. That Cowboy Town Cyclops episode.
Oh, that was not great either.
That was the worst episode. It was hard to watch. It was so bad.
As far as we don't have a category on like characters that got like utilized the least in the show, because if so, I think Cyclops is one of them.
Cyclops was one of them.
He hardly gets like maybe two standalone episodes, and they're both not fantastic. The one with his dad is
Purple Man.
Oh, right, the Purple Man one.
No, we didn't rate his episodes good. If I bring up my chart again here, so for the Cyclops, very specific chart? Episodes, mostly finished chart. Thank you. Cyclops episodes. Well, look, Secrets Not Long Buried, the one I'm talking about. We both gave threes.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. It was not a good. It was not a good episode. And
nothing else gets quite that low.
What I love is when they just invent a new character that we're all supposed to think is like some big part of everyone's life. Like, there's like, here's another doctor that Cyclops really is best friends with that we've never heard of before and never will again.
Anyway, it's definitely Secrets Not Long Buried. Dave.
Well, my vote is certainly More Like. I know. Well, he's not going to go for More Like Christmas. So, and I love Christmas, and I like the Morlocks, but that episode, man, the horrible singing, the ridiculous Jean Grey and Gambit fighting in the kitchen.
That's the best part. That's
better than anything in Secret.
It's so off brand. It doesn't make any sense for any kind of connect. Like, she seems to hate everything he does.
Why do you hate fun?
I hate inconsistency. They literally
she's a white lady with white lady cooking who doesn't want any spice anywhere near anything she does.
Summer savory. Bit of summer savory.
There has to be a worse episode than that Cyclops episode, but I guess I have to side with you. But there has to be a worse
one. I don't think there is one worse than that one. I don't think there is. We couldn't hardly get through it. We didn't want to talk. Like, he doesn't even have his powers. Like, none of the side characters are anyone you've ever heard of. Like,
Toad's in it, isn't he?
Toad, they don't even let Toad say anything. He's just sort of
Tusk makes an appearance, which
Tusk
is
the best character in the whole episode.
He doesn't even say or do anything.
Well, there you go. It's a Secrets Not Long Buried.
Secrets Not Long Buried is the worst one. All right. Best dramatic moment.
Oh, God. What did you pick for this one, Devin? You go for it.
It's when Jean Grey takes the life essence of all the different X-Men, and she says something super sweet about each one of them as she's taking a piece of their life essence to sustain herself. It made me cry. It was very good.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It's also an episode of Sailor Moon.
There you have it.
I think that might be the best one, is the Sailor Moon episode. Let's go for that one. I had a few that I liked. I'm trying to think of the one I would like the best. Dramatic. I mean, I liked the Meg. Now, is that one the best? I think you might be right. I think it might be. I mean, it's not certain. Actually, like, the end of the time. No. I think the end. What? No, I think the end of, for me, I'm going to go with Beyond Good and Evil Part 4, the end of the beginning, when they have the final showdown with Apocalypse and drop him into time for all eternity. I thought that, like, he had such the gravitas of that episode and how it all linked towards everything and all got to this big thing. It seemed very much like that should have been the end of the series, and I know that they thought it was. And I just thought, like, as far as tying everything up and making this big dramatic moment, tossing Apocalypse through time was, and they had a lot of fun cameos from, like, you know, space people and stuff. I was in for that one. I'm going with that one.
It feels like too much power to get to decide.
Yeah, well,
it's all yours. Special
guest, Dave.
No,
we don't bring in anybody.
All that power. Professional. Well, this time we got to go with Andre and Apocalypse.
Yeah,
because I love Apocalypse, and I don't love Jean.
because she's a white lady with no spices.
With no spices. In her gumbo.
It's a tale of two Daves.
Spiceless Dave's crashing the party. Holy shit, there's two Daves.
Now who's arrived?
Dave, aren't you in Toronto as well?
Hey, Burlington.
Oh, we can have two Ontario Daves in one space.
Oh, see you then.
There can be only one.
You two have to meet at the CN Tower and have a fist fight. Whoever wins gets to stay on the show.
All right. Well, you know, they filmed part of X-Men, the movie, like when they get off Liberty Island right across the street here. So what about better.
Okay. Well, Dave, meet him there and get in a fist fight with him and tell me how it goes.
All right, we're too funny. We're doing the X's here, Cousin Dave.
Oh, okay.
If you have any nominations, feel free to jump in. But Dave Cutler here gets the deciding vote on these nominations. All right, so funniest moment. This one was a tough one for me. Like, there's, like, everything about the Tad.
That's pretty good.
there's what do you think they doing up there? But I figure you're going to nominate Gambit. So I'm going to say when Jubilee does that Storm impression, she's like, I am Jubilee, mistress of the fireworks or whatever. And she's just like, I don't know, that one made me laugh.
I mean, I feel like one of the beastisms would probably be one of the funniest because they're all just so ridiculous. I can't think of they're one so specifically,
yeah.
But there's like, you know, the one where he's like, he does this really long explanation as to like, that they should run, and then someone's like, do you mean run? He's like, to put it succinctly, yes, and then they run. I like that one.
Tennyson.
Yeah. Actually, no, that might be it. That might be it. That's got to be it. That's like, I'm going to go with Tennyson. That one, because he just says the whole speech, and then just at the end, Tennyson.
Yeah, that's a great
yeah,
one, too.
I'm going with Tennyson. Oh, God.
Well, I want to reward the show. I feel like Andre's making fun of the show.
Well, I mean, anything that's hilarious is not intentionally so. I guess the Jubilee thing was supposed to be.
No, I mean, Wolverine and Gambit have like really funny one-liners and stuff.
I do like the time when I think Cyclops, in this past season, Cyclops says to Wolverine, I need your help. And he's like, first time for everything. So that was funny too. But I don't know. I think Tennyson might be it for me.
Julie has a lot of funny lines, especially in the first season. But I'm
the cat, the long tailed cat, in Room for the Rocking Chairs is pretty great too.
I was going to hope that was somebody's quote. But,
yeah,
we're not to that one yet. But you know what? Another great Jubilee line is too. She's in the very first episode, and she breaks that arcade machine. She's like, "Do you know how much that machine cost?" She's like, "Yeah, a quarter."
Yeah. Glasses come down.
Yeah, that's
a. Does a mall baby eat chili fries? Iconic. Yeah. We still don't know if a mall baby does, but
no, we don't. We're going to be lingering. That answer may never get solved. Maybe they'll pick it up in season six. Who knows?
Do you have a funniest moment there, Cousin Dave?
I feel like a little out of my depth here because I didn't watch single episode back like you guys did.
You son of a bitch.
But those all sounded very funny.
Tennyson.
I'll tell you what mine is.
All right.
Which won't get the award. The award goes to Jubilee. But mine is from the first episode that I did with you guys where, Bishop is talking about an assassin, la, 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 la. He's back with the X-Men. And then Gambit walks into the room and says, everyone can relax. Gambit has arrived. And then, Bishop loses his mind. He's like, assassin! And, blah, blah, blah. So in actuality, no one can relax.
That's what your subname is in today. That's funny.
Yeah.
That one's pretty solid too. Bishop had a lot of funny ones. Anytime he goes back, like he just it's like he's Sisyphus rolling this boulder uphill for eternity. Every time he goes back to the future, it's just like, you know, Forge comes around the corner in a weird different body, and he's like, it's all fucked up again. It's different this time. No matter what you do, it's just gonna keep getting fucked up in a different way.
I think Cousin Dave heard that most guest appearances talk and had to get his numbers up.
Oh, it's true.
Yeah. I did. You know what? I also didn't have dinner yet, and I feel like I was just popping in and say hello to you guys, but I feel like I'm not going to be able to keep up here. So
well, that's all right. We're glad you jumped in and said hi.
I but good to see you guys. Nice to meet you, Dave.
Nice to meet you as well.
And I'm going to bow out. And good job, guys. Congratulations again on finishing all of those episodes.
That was get that strength up for when you got to fight Dave Cutler. So
yeah. I'll see you in the park. All right.
Wouldn't it be great if they really did? Like, we get footage of Dave and Dave just fist fighting in the park. It'd be fantastic.
All right, here's the best quote. I mean, best quote, funniest moment could, like, there's a bit of overlap there, maybe. But I went a little more serious with this one.
No.
Really?
I have a feeling I'm going to side with you if you went serious.
Is it rocking chairs? But no, I went serious. I went, people will always fear what they do not understand. They say it more than once in the series, and it describes the plight of the X-Men and summarizes the whole series the best in a very few words. That's what I went with.
Oh, really? I'm going to go with something that is much cooler. I am the rocks of the eternal shore. Crash against me and be broken.
Yes.
That was the best line. That was the best line to ever come out of the show.
Whoever wrote that was my second pick, so I'm glad you picked it.
Whoever wrote that deserves every award. That is like fucking so badass.
That is the best one. I just tried to get serious a moment, but that is.
Well, that was pretty goddamn serious.
Dude, that's what I thought you were going to go with, something from Apocalypse. But Apocalypse has
some fun. The rocks upon the eternal shore.
Killer lines.
Crash against me and be broken. I got to use that in a wrestling promo at some point in the future. I'm definitely going to use that like in my next wrestling promo, which I got to record sometime soon. That's awesome. That's fantastic. That's Apocalypse. Beast and Apocalypse probably have the best quotes, but Apocalypse's are far more epic. And Beast is mostly just quoting other people, but this is like purely Apocalypse.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, best comic adaptation. For me, this one was easiest. It was the Dark Phoenix saga. I have the trade there, and it's almost beat for beat. Like, they cut out a bit of fat that you don't even need. It might even be the best telling of that story. It's close with the comic
book. I would like to see that. Really, I would like to see the tragic ending and then, you know, bring her back later. But I did think it was very good. I don't think I can really argue with you on that one. No, the Wolverine and Silver Samurai stuff wasn't that great. I'm trying to think of something else that was like, that was so epic. I like the Phalanx story, but I don't think that was pulled from the comic. I think that was kind of its own thing.
Oh, sure it was. It was pulled from the Phalanx Covenant.
Yeah, but like, did it have that particular group of people teaming up together when everyone else?
No.
Yeah,
exactly. No. It's a lot looser.
Yeah, so.
But that's, even in the Phoenix saga, it's not the same roster of X-Men.
Yeah, I mean, I was just thinking about the Brood stuff, but that Cody episode, which wasn't that great either.
I think that would be my number zero. That would be my least favorite.
Why did we give that one? Hold on,
bonkers.
It wasn't very.
We weren't high on that one either. Where is it? It's Love in Vain. That one. There it is. Fives. Well, better than the threes we gave. Secrets Not Long Buried.
I mean, the Genosha story was kind of interesting. The Savage Land thing was pretty fun. But as far as like iconic X-Men stories that were depicted in the series, I feel like the first season had a lot more than others. If they kind of went off their own way after the first season. But yeah, I think I'll go. I think I have to agree with you on that one. It's pretty great.
All right. Unanimous.
Oh, the Days of Future Past episodes are really fun, though.
They're great.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, you know.
It's not as good. It changes the story a lot more.
Yeah,
it brings together a bunch of threads. Like the X-Men often did the same kind of thing in the comics, like with repetition. They tie in the Bishop stuff. I like that, but I do agree that it's probably
I think so. I think that's a close second because I really did like that story. Sliding in Bishop instead of Kitty Pryde, all that was interesting. But you know, it was fun and it kind of set up that whole space stuff. Although I do think the Storm Wolverine episode with that sort of an Age of Apocalypse riff where they're from
the other fugitive.
That was really pretty great too. I think you have to say it's Dark Phoenix. I mean, it's a four-parter, it was big. It kind of covered the whole expanse. We got Gladiator and Juggernaut and all that fun stuff mixed in with all that. It was fun. Yeah, it was, well, actually, it was like six parts, wasn't it?
No, the Phoenix Saga was five parts. The Dark Phoenix Saga was four parts.
Okay, so together, it's, I mean, it's all, I would loop a lot of that together, but yeah, no, it's pretty great. So,
yep,
I go with that one. I don't think we need to argue on that one.
Best cameo.
Well, there's very few characters that actually cameo. Most of them are just seen in the background, or like Black Panther in Africa that just hiding behind a rock, or Spider-Man's hand shooting some webbing. Oh, well, yeah. I mean, there are people that show up that like, you never see again. Like, okay, you know what my vote will be? Iceman in Cold Comfort. Because he actually is a guest star. We never see him again. He's in one episode. And that whole thing with X-Factor, that was fun. I liked that. I would have liked to see more of it.
Dave did not like that episode.
No. I feel bad for how little I liked that episode.
Yeah,
but at least it was a throwback too, because like Angel showed up enough times, more than one. I guess what's the parameters here? If like I do really like Nightcrawler.
Well, my choice is him? Spider-Man's hand.
Oh, that's ridiculous. That's like
no this... way. It's Spider-Man. We got Spider-Man in the series. It's there.
Okay, so
we need his hand.
When you can pick someone like Nightcrawler, or you know.
Well, what's the dictionary definition of a cameo?
That's a good point.
For me, I would when I chose cameo, I was thinking just rando in the background that they stick in for fun.
Yeah. But, do you have a separate? Do you have a separate category?
For do you have a guest star one then?
Yeah, we do. Best supporting actor. Oh, we'll do guest star as well then. Yeah.
Okay, fine. If it's just people that show up, I think don't we see the Living Tribunal at one point? Just in like a run by.
I'm going to say yes.
I'm pretty sure we do when people are reacting to some, or Doctor Strange we see react to like something going on. We also see like Nick Fury watching a TV screen at one point. The Punisher is on a video game cartridge. There's lots of like strange little ones like that. But I'd say the Living Tribunal because, you know, he's such a cool Marvel character and design that I thought was neat seeing him. I want to double check that he actually is in it, but
yeah, I can't find him.
But maybe it's. But it was. I thought it was him in the X-Men.
I don't remember him in.
There. I'm pretty sure they're like flashing through, like people reacting. Well,
it can't be the best one if we can't even remember.
Maybe it was Destiny then, or maybe Eternity. Maybe it was Eternity.
Strange and Clea at the ski lodge were pretty funny.
Oh, in the background, yeah. Although we did see Doctor Strange at one point, like in the Sanctum, react to something, didn't they? When was being. I mean, that was pretty great.
Spider-Man's hand.
100%. At least you get to see the full person. I'd rather do one of those. I'll say Nick Fury when he's like hanging out with like Bridge and War Machine. That was pretty great. What do you say, Dave?
I don't want to side with Spider-Man's hand, but you didn't really give me another.
It's Spider-Man. What else do you need?
Yeah, I mean that excited me the most as a kid for sure. Just a glimpse of Spider-Man's hand.
But then you actually get a crossover episode in the Spider-Man cartoon.
True. Spider-Man's hand is the winner.
It is the winner.
All right. Best multi-part story.
I like the Phalanx Covenant.
Okay, the Phalanx Covenant. I didn't get to those on my chart here yet, but I think we did rate it high. The other two ones were One Man's Worth. No, that's the one. That's what.
Oh, I'm changing my answer. I know it's not going to matter, but Ghost Rider.
That's a good one.
Yeah, because he's probing the memories and Ghost Rider shows up, which I thought was super cool. And it was like the Danny Ketch Ghost Rider. I thought that was really neat. So I forgot about that one. There's also a robot version of the Punisher that shows up too. I think that's great. We'll go with that.
So the story you were talking about earlier with like Wolverine and Storm in the future as a
relationship. Yeah, it was pretty great too. That was two.
That's actually One Man's Worth. That's when they have. Because like they have to go save Xavier because getting rid of him.
Yeah, that stupid guy from the future that has ridiculous powers that can time travel. What was his name again? The mutant master mold.
There was Fitzroy and Bantam.
Fitzroy, that's what it was.
Yeah, but the other one that we gave two tens to in a two-parter was my pick, and that is Sanctuary.
What happens in Sanctuary?
That's the one with Asteroid M, and there's like a lot of UN stuff, and like it's quite political, but it's like in Magneto coming down and gathering followers. And
see, that's a contender for best adaptation because it's actually way better than the comic source material,
which was like X-Men 1-3 or whatever.
Yeah,
we got all that fun stuff with what's his face there, the guy that the villain Cortez, the Fabian Cortez.
He loses his shit later on.
When he's like the apocalypse's minion in season five, he's totally off the rails. But he's pretty off the rails in that one too.
True, he's pretty great. We do love Fabian Cortez. Sanctuary.
You know what? I'll say Days of the Future Past because I really do like that one, and I feel like it needs some recognition. It was two parts and it was fun. Plus, Dave was on the first part, I think. Weren't you, Dave, or the second part?
First part we ranked higher.
I still think it's great when we were laughing about like how Jubilee's like Bishop's driving up to the in a transfer truck, like goes through the gates of the mansion and just like barreling in, and she's like, I like the look of this guy.
you actually shit on the second part. You gave it a 6.
Did I give it that low? Wow.
Yeah.
What did I write?
Want to stick with Phalanx. You love Phalanx. I'll stick with Phalanx. And you loved One Man's Worth, the one with Storm and Wolverine.
I did love that one. I did think it had a nice, touching, sad little love story. That one is probably, as far as like narratively with like a real heart to it, that one's probably better. I just, the funness of all the interconnectedness of getting to see young Forge team up with like modern X-Men, and Quicksilver's in there, Magneto. That was pretty fun. I'm gonna stick with Phalanx.
And what was your?
Mine is Sanctuary.
Asteroid M.
That's a tough one. I am gonna go with Andre. Because I think you see some Age of Apocalypse character designs in that. In the opening of that.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Best single episode.
Oh, wow. This is a tough one.
It's obvious. It's Beauty and the Beast.
The one with the blind woman and Beast?
It's the only episode you and I both gave a 10 that wasn't part of a multi-part story.
Yeah. I guess. I can't argue with the numbers. The numbers don't lie.
What else did we have? I think it is. Dave and I both gave Bloodlines a 10, but you gave it a 9.
What was Bloodlines? Is that the one with...
Dave was on that one.
Yeah, but tell me what the episode was about.
Wasn't Quicksilver in that? No, that's Family Ties. Bloodlines. That was the second Nightcrawler one.
I did like the one where we find out that the Grayson Creed is the son of Victor Creed.
That's a good one.
That one I really enjoyed, actually. He was so manically insane towards the end of it when he's just trying to shoot everyone with a helicopter. And then they just drop him off on his dad's doorstep as like punishment. Somehow they know where Sabretooth is and they just don't do anything about it. They just use him as poetic justice when they need to drop his son off to him. And then you never see him again.
You gave Mojo Vision and Rogue's Tale a 10 as well.
I gave Rogue's Tale a 10?
Mm-hmm.
A Rogue's Tale is a dope episode.
It is fun. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That is a great episode. That's the one we find out where she got her powers from, right? That is a great episode. Mojo Vision. Mojo Vision was fun. It was pretty ridiculous. It reminded me a lot of Stay Tuned, which is a nostalgia-driven movie in my mind. But Mojo is just such a fun, ridiculous character. Yeah, I'll go with the Beast one. Let's do it. I'll side with Davin. He needs a win.
I think so far I've been alternating between you guys. I don't think Davin needs a win, but
Beauty and the Beast.
That's fine.
It's a great episode.
I guess just I'm agonizing over it too much. Let's go. I'm gonna say Mojo Vision because it's a fun action oriented episode.
Our problem with our review of that episode was like we wanted more from the little TV shows they got thrown into.
Yeah, they only had a 20-minute time.
Yeah, I know. To
cram everything in it, but it was pretty fun. There's some pretty inventive and intelligent stuff in there.
All right, Dave.
Break it up.
Beauty and the Beast or Mojo Vision?
Oh, you went Mojo Vision. I can't give it to Dave. I can't. I don't even really like that episode.
No, you mocked it as being bad when you were on one time. I knew you weren't going to pick it. That's fine.
Yay.
It was on right before Mojo Vision. You were on for Mojo Vision. You were like, at least it wasn't as bad as that, like, Beast Gets a Date one. And we're like, we both gave that 10s. You're like, oh.
And then we had, like, he had the picture on the wall of, like, you know, later on you see he has a photo of her at his bedside or something, like, that she's still around somewhere in there. It's almost like that other ex-girlfriend of Professor X's that only showed up occasionally when
Amelia Vaught.
Yeah. And she was in the asteroid one in Sanctuary.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we see her like, I just love how she seems to have a whole arc going on that we never really see. Every time we drop in on her, she's had some kind of evolution. Like later on, she's just helping them. She's like, ah, it's cool now. I'm fine. I'm happy to help you guys. And before she's like, fuck you, Charles. I'm going to the moon with Magneto. Like,
he has that photo to remember her by, and she has a book of carpet samples.
You know, a thing we missed for the funniest moment, too, is when like Charles and Magneto are being chased around that big rock by a T-Rex. And they're just like running around in
circles. Oh, yeah.
The T-Rex. That's pretty hilarious, too.
Oh, they're running in the circle around the crate.
Yeah.
That whole, like, at the end of every episode, we just got another Magneto and Charles being in another situation where it seems like they're going to die.
Those are pretty great.
It was fun for a while, but towards the end of that season, I'm like, just hurry up and tell me what the fuck's going on here.
As a kid, it just meant I got to go to the bathroom early. Like, I'd never stayed for those bits.
Oh, really? That's funny. All right. I mean,
best henchman.
Of all of them? Like, everybody's henchman?
Yeah. I'm going Fabian Cortez. It's got to be Fabian. He's such a loose unit.
I guess he is a henchman in both. But both, no, he was actually totally subservient to Apocalypse. He did turn on Magneto and try to kill him. So
henchmen do that sometimes.
I mean, Eric the Red is pretty great.
True.
I liked him. I like is it Handsome George? Is that his name? No, Handsome
Gorgeous George.
Gorgeous George. Gorgeous George.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He's pretty fun. His design is cool. I mean, there's a lot of them. I mean, would Juggernaut be considered a henchman?
No. He's a main villain for sure.
Black Tom.
There's sort two of episodes named after him. I'd call Black Tom his henchman, if anything. But no, not really. Neither of them are really henchmen.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't think I can say that. I mean, like, there are some strong contenders, but I think, I mean, Mystique is one too, right? So Sabretooth.
Yeah.
So, Yeah, I think you're right. Just as far as
Sabretooth's pretty great. I don't know if I'd count him as a henchman.
For pure comedy, Cortez certainly was the most entertaining of all those options. 100%.
Fabian Cortez. All right, here we go. Best guest star hero.
Iceman
big.
Iceman, Captain America. Whatever options we got? Iceman,
Quicksilver.
Captain America, Quicksilver,
Nightcrawler,
and Scarlet Witch.
I'm going to pick Nightcrawler.
Yeah, I like Colossus, though. He's pretty great. Oh, he's pretty great funny, too.
He is funny.
He's only been on a couple episodes. I mean, Angel shows. Banshee was fun, too. Angel was all right when he showed up.
Oh, jeez. You know what? I might have to change mine. I really do enjoy Colossus. He's very funny.
Yeah,
you American funny. Girls, strange girls.
Yeah, strange girls. You Americans.
I'm going to be Colossus.
He's like picking up a tank and throwing it away, and he's just so like jovial, but he's like, you Americans and your crazy customs. Yeah, I mean, I do like Nightcrawler, but I'm not a big fan of the religious proselytizing, so I think I'll probably have to go with Colossus. He's pretty great.
All right, we agree. Colossus. Interesting. All right, so star of the series, villain, star character. Who's the villain?
The best villain?
Yeah, star villain.
Apocalypse. It's got to be. I mean, Magneto is a villain for one season, maybe like three episodes in one season, and then a tentative friend for most of the rest of the series.
I didn't pick either of them.
Really? You think someone's better than Apocalypse? Sinister?
Yeah. No.
Who are you going to say?
Raiden Creed.
Yeah.
He just keeps coming back. he just gets more and more like horrible and racist.
The one when he finds out that I remember we're trying to figure out who did the voice of Beastly and we couldn't remember. It was him.
Yeah.
It was the guy that did the voice of Graydon.
That's why when he starts losing his shit, like, yeah. I'm like, there's some little cartoon weirdo that has that exact voice.
It's Beastly. It's
so distracting.
Yeah.
That's Beastly.
Yeah, we figured it out during that episode.
yeah.
Yeah,
I know it's Beastly Creed.
Beastly Creed. I just want to stick with Apocalypse, but because I don't know, Creed was more of an annoyance than a real threat. Apocalypse was a valid threat in many episodes.
He stirs up the hatred of humanity.
That's true, but he is the real threat. He is the son of two mutants who somehow didn't become a mutant himself. Dude,
that's very rare.
Yeah, he's Mystique's his mom and Sabretooth's dad. Nightcrawler is his half brother, right? Because that's when she was with the other guy. She was in disguise.
Surprising Mystique didn't take Sabretooth on Maury.
You know, that'd be a great episode. Can you imagine Sabretooth a whole episode
is
of that?
not the father.
And then they surprisingly bring out Graydon Creed, and he's like, I don't care. I don't care about you guys. You know, when they always come out, they're yelling at the audience with their booze. I don't care.
Boo, I do what I want. I do what I want. He's throwing cars instead of chairs, killing people in the audience.
That one bouncer that they used to always cheer for, he just like rips his head off.
Steve.
That's what it was, yeah.
He's just like, I'm not a racist, I'm a friend of humanity. You people are the racists.
Remember that golden era in the 90s where like that was a thing, and there actually was a viable market for rent and for sales of Too Hot for TV episodes where they would just show the episodes without the blurs on the nudity. It's so ridiculous.
Like, it was a special time.
I really want to see that 400-pound woman who can't decide which of her six lovers is the father of her three children without her top on. Thank God I now can by renting this Too Hot for TV Volume 4 version of Jerry Springer.
So is it Graydon Creed or Apocalypse?
It's Apocalypse. I love that Graydon Creed episode, though. I love most of the episodes that Graydon Creed is in, but yeah, Apocalypse is like...
He was the big bad of the series.
Oh, yeah,
finished off 100%. In four parts.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, star character hero.
I can guess Davs.
Yeah, all right. Andre says Wolverine. I'll go with Storm.
Of course you're going to go with Storm.
That's what I thought.
I'll go with Storm. Wolverine. Because honestly, I think it is probably Wolverine.
Wolverine, actually, if you want, like, retrospectively going back and watching all of the show from the start till now, obviously thinking about it, Wolverine actually kind of has an arc. Like, he actually goes from being a kind of a gritty loner who really doesn't work well with others to actually becoming quite a team player who, you know, puts aside his respect for Scott, puts aside his love for Jean Grey to let them be together, you know, and has real growth as a character. He actually is a much calmer, more team player by the end of the series than he was at the start. Storm's great from the beginning, but there isn't really an arc. She just is great. Sure.
And special mention to Beast, just because he lights up the screen every time.
Beast is probably the most charismatic, for sure. I mean, that's probably thanks to the George Buzza, but he is pretty great as well. I just think Wolverine is cool. Like, you know, he's a good mixture of a character arc and an interesting character. And I mean, plus he's always been cool, which is why people like him. He's a cool character. He's the guy in the group that doesn't take orders well. You know, and they're usually always the more popular one, but don't know. I feel like you've really seen him change as a character.
All right. I agree. It's Wolverine.
I was going to say that that it was Storm because I'm not a racist.
Oh, no. I miscalculated. There's something wrong with my screen. you got to go. Yeah. I have to go draft a letter to my lawyer.
No, I mean, it is Wolverine. Wolverine's one of the only... I don't want to say it now because there's a category coming up later that'll probably say
that. David did his homework because I have no idea what's coming next.
Best supporting actor, hero. So, but you know, that doesn't need to be hero, actually. It's just best supporting actor. Like the actor who comes back probably does more voices than one, maybe not. For me, I picked Uncle Lawrence Bane. And I'll tell you why, because I asked him about this earlier today to clarify. He plays not only what we talked about on the show, which is Eric the Red, Captain America, and Cable, obviously the Wild Man of Borneo, but he also played Corsair and Fabian Cortez. And that Fabian Cortez, like the he height was Cortez? Of madness stuff. He was Cortez as well.
Wow. Okay. So well,
then Cortez, Cable, and Corsair.
Yeah. So we're giving it to voice actor that makes a role. Okay. Exactly. Well, then yes, 100%. I say I agree.
Yep. Lawrence Bane, winner.
That's he wasn't Cortez, actor. Was he? We he looked was up his Cortez. Voice.
I asked him today.
Wow.
Because I looked up a thing and it said he was. And I was like, wait, that doesn't right. We didn't talk about that. But then I asked him today and he was like, yep. Cortez and Corsair.
I mean, Corsair is pretty great. So, yeah.
And he's great too. Yeah. So, best actor, villain. I chose Christopher Britton. Yeah.
Yeah, Sinister's really pretty great.
He's so creepy.
What does he do?
I mean, he's Sinister. Sinister.
Hello, Morph. He's just like so, so like creepy.
I mean, Apocalypse is pretty great too, but Sinister.
Apocalypse, like the acting is like, it's perfect. It's John Colicos, but it's the same thing every time. Like there's no variation.
No pun intended, but there's a sinister edge to everything he says that is very, very well done. I thought it was super cool. Yeah.
After the one where he goes back in time and does his origin was really good and gave him some different stuff to do.
I love how that one glosses over the fact that he's like, you know, like Jack, he made Jack the Ripper and is getting him to go get like, you know, organs from prostitutes. Like it's something that like they candy coat over for a kid's show. But in the reality of what he did or what he is or what he's doing is horrifying. Like he's just getting this lunatic to just rip the organs out of prostitutes so he could use them for his studies.
Yeah, it's pretty awful. Yeah. They definitely glossed over that pretty fast.
Yeah.
Okay. And our final category, best actor hero. And for me, it's Lenore. Like, Rogue got the most varied material to work with. She was got a lot of funny stuff, a lot of serious drama stuff, a lot of, like, you know, crazy screaming because she feels the powers and like a lot of that crazy.
I feel like Rogue really dropped off for like the last two seasons of the show, though. You barely see her.
It's true. But I still think as far as like the range of acting we saw from any of them, I think maybe Lenore had the most.
I'm going to give it to Beast.
He nailed it.
I'm going to give it to Beast. He's great too. Of all the voices, I mean, there are two voices in the show. I mean, all the voices are pretty iconic. Like if I hear any of those
Gambit's so good too.
Yeah, like most of the voices that I hear when I think of these characters in my head are the voices from the show. But Beast, I think Beast inches just a little further ahead. Because I really like, I think Buzza was or Booza was the Booza. Is it Booza? Okay, was Booza. The best. Was literally like I feel like there's a perfect alchemy to the show in a lot of ways. Like a lot of these characters' voices are really, really good. I mean, actually, the guy did the voice. Well, we already said villain, but I feel like we should mention that Sabretooth was such a good voice too. For the
villains. Don Franks,
yeah,
so good,
and star of My Bloody Valentine, which is always fun. Yeah, I think we're going to have to go Booza for mine. Beast is undeniable.
Beast versus
but Rogue is too. They're both really good ones. I just feel like I need to go with Beast.
Well, back when I was going to pick my own, the first thing that came to mind for all of these was Rogue, the Lost Lenore. So I'm gonna go Rogue. I love the way her voice cracks when it goes high or loud. Like there's like
ain't real, that enough?
real warmth and character to that voice, and I genuinely love it, and I think she does a great Batman the Animated Series level job.
That is true.
Shout out for her interview as well. Like she told us very candid stories and stuff, and really, really good interview. So that was the first ever XE Awards.
Yeah. Well, it'll be another one, I guess, when the other series ends in 50 years' time.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Who knows? We're unpredictable. We like to have fun here. Well, that's speaking true. Of having fun, since we're not doing none of our normal segments. Let's play
any,
a game.
Any of our normal segments, Devin?
Well, please. We'll play a game.
I'm just kidding. People love when you correct their English. It's the grammar is very important.
What did I say?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Okay. Let's play Make a Mutant, shall we? Yay, Make a Mutant.
Oh, God.
Surely you've learned by now that there is no more important work than teaching the young.
That music.
All right, we're going to make a mute, the three of us. So we're going to, how are we going to do it this time? We're going to, one of us will choose a, no, we're all going to do it. We're going to, this person's going to be packed with three powers and three characteristics. So we're both going to pick, all of us are going to pick a physical characteristic and a power that this mutant has. And I'm going to start with Dave. Put you on the spot.
What?
Yeah, you're a professional.
You have to be better at this than works. Us. I don't even remember.
Yeah, yeah.
How this
you
works.
Pick. You pick a physical characteristic and a power. And then at the end, based on all our choices, we'll come up with the best name for this character. Or just pick one. Just pick we'll do the physical characteristic.
I got both.
Okay.
They're 4'1".
Ooh, okay. And,
power is they're very slippery.
Okay, so frictionless.
Are you describing
so like slippery as in like wet?
Yeah, like a bar soap.
So, Dave, have you recently watched the episode of The Simpsons where Willie gets greased up and slides through the vents at the school?
No.
Grease me up, woman. Because I feel as though you're just describing Willie from The Simpsons.
Willie's not 4 feet tall. Willie's a large man.
He's a little shorter than the average person, I believe.
And the ugliest man in Glasgow.
He's Rowdy Roddy Peeper. That man is sick. All right, so he's 4 foot tall and he's very slippery? Is that what we got?
4'1".
4'1". Okay, sorry. That one is very important. Thank you for the
part. Might be to him. Probably is to him.
When you're that short, yeah. 4'1".
And slippery.
Actually, the cutoff for little person is 4'10", so he's a little person. Mm-hmm. He's Puck.
Yeah.
Except he's slippery.
I wonder how
slippery
tall Puck is.
That's a great name, Slippery Puck. He's like,
I think Puck's 4'8".
It's like a brand of Puck. He's like a hobbit. One. No,
he's 3'6", according to
Wikipedia. 3'6". Yeah, Puck's tiny. This guy's bigger than Puck.
I always forget Puck was not born a little person.
No, he's got a demon trapped inside him, and his body's compressing itself to keep the demon inside.
He was born 6'6". He wasn't born 6'6", but he grew that big.
How does that doesn't make any like how would his muscles or his bones work if that was the case? Like,
well, he's in pain magic, all right? the time.
They're super compacted.
Yeah, that's why he's strong.
That's not how your insides work.
It's how his work.
Okay. It is when magic. You have a demon.
Yeah, it's demons.
Well, I hope I never catch a demon. I mean, I'm happy to stay 6'2". I don't want to get any smaller.
Also, watch for Alpha Flight number 5. I have 5 pages in it in December.
Ooh.
5 awesome. Fill-in pages. And I did get to draw Puck.
It's been a good series so far.
Yeah, Ed killed it, I think. It's probably, like, to me, the best read of an Alpha Flight series ever.
It's good.
Dave, you would be the person to ask about this. If an enterprising young handsome bearded man was thinking about getting the Marvel Unlimited series, or is that what it is? The subscription service? Yeah. So that's just like everything, right? Pretty much.
There's the like basically all the major stuff from antiquity is there, and they're slowly adding all the like weird BS to like stuff you wouldn't expect. Mm-hmm. And then you have to wait like I think it's 3 months for new books to get added.
That's but, so
basically everything is there. Like I kind of think that like working for Marvel, you should get a free subscription because I use it so much to reference stuff. But
you think you would?
That. Well, there you have it, Marvel. Dave Cutler hates. No, I'm just kidding. No, that's fair enough. I mean, you would kind of hope. I mean, that seems like. I mean, the days of them having to send you a box of comics with all the stuff you needed for reference for a story, like if you're a writer or, you know, pictures of your the artist. I mean, what did you have before? Just a copy of the Who's Who guide that they put every year, the encyclopedia, and then just go off of that?
Well, these days they send you a zip of, like, JPEGs, but it's never enough. So, like, for Tomb of Dracula, I was, like, back and forth through the 70 issues, basically, looking for, like, what this guy looks like, what Castle Dracula looks like in the Marvel Universe in the 70s and stuff. So it's invaluable.
What is it, a month for this again?
I don't know. And the worst part is it's not like Netflix or whatever where there's a Canadian thing. So yeah. I just get a notice every month, like international transaction alert, and I always panic. Like, what's going on? It's always Marvel Unlimited.
I think it's
$15 Canadian.
Oh, that's not bad. That's well worth it. I got the Kindle Unlimited thing a while ago, and because there was a bunch of graphic novels that showed up for free in it, and a lot of cool series too. And so I would just read random things that I want to catch up on, and I've actually grown to really enjoy it. Like, I don't want to get rid of all physical comics, but to me, as far as space in my house goes, and the joy of being able to read, you know, all these stories by the wayside that I want to read that without tracking down expensive trades and stuff, sounds pretty good to me.
Well, I'm slowly getting into more back issue floppies because, like, I'm like really in love with newsprint these days.
Yeah,
you know, the old art looks on the like when it soaks into the page. So that's kind of what I'm doing a lot of now.
When I was talking with one of my guests from last night, I've recorded my other podcast. They were talking about like Micronauts and Strike Force Moratorium and some of those books that I really like, and the old floppies for those I would never want to give up. But I do love reading those. It's one of the best comics that nobody ever talks about. It's so good.
I spent like
forever. We are about to die.
That's what it means.
I spent forever and hundreds of dollars accumulating the entire, where's my finger, the entire Claremont run in Omnibus.
Nah. Oh.
And now I'm like, fuck these things.
Yeah, I know.
The paper's so glossy, and I'm like,
and like also it's like it's not like if you want to read one, you can't just tuck that under your arm and read it on the subway. You know, like you need to sit at a table and put it in front of you and read it like an ancient tome. Like there's
if I'm on the couch, I have to put like three pillows on my lap to get it up to a comfortable.
And I have a ton of them. I probably have like 50 of those Omnibus books, and it's like, you know, reading them is a trial. Like I would like if I'm like I'm going to read all of the Age of Apocalypse now, and it's like. You know, and then it's a big deal.
Yeah, I was loving it at first.
It is pretty great to have it on one spot.
Yeah, it is, and plus it looks nice on the shelf. So
it sure does. I got a bunch of John Byrne stuff, like tons of John Byrne stuff in the omnibuses.
I really want to get his Fantastic Four, but
I have both of those. Yeah, and they recently put all of his man, not like they're not quite in the full omnibus thing, but they're in a pretty big of all of his Man of Steel run, which I picked up too.
You know what I was thinking of? Because we were trying to pontificate on which character Lawrence was coming back on the show to play. Maybe it's Cortez.
That'd be interesting.
Because he's a character they use quite a bit in the comics.
And he did say, see if you can guess who I'm playing. So.
Yeah. But yeah, pick a power and a physical characteristics for Soap Boy here. Whatever.
His hair is purple.
All right.
And so he's greasy. Does he expel like oil, or is he just like friction doesn't work well with him?
Not like nasty oil, like whatever soap is made out of, some kind of friggin' oil.
Like, soap is made of animal fat.
it's made Greece. Of sly and fat. Yeah,
yeah. I was gonna say it's usually fat in Greece, oil and fat. And
I think let me modify it. He's not always slippery, but the second he gets wet, he is slippery.
So he's a ground. Okay,
slippery when wet.
Right. And I mean, like, you can't.
Bon Jovi.
The juggernaut would grab him and he'd like just rock it off.
Like a hot dog fresh out of the pot. He just slippery wiener. All right, purple hair and a forked tongue.
That's two physical characteristics. Oh, I'm sorry. Power.
Purple. Sorry. My brain.
Depends what you do with it.
That's a good point. Yeah. All right. So purple hair. And man, this guy's going to be have ridiculous. I'm trying to think of something that kind of goes along with what Dave's power was, because otherwise he's just like a weird chimera of a character. Okay. He can breathe underwater. He can swim.
Okay, I'm making him a she, actually.
Okay.
That's whoa, my physical whoa, whoa. Characteristic.
Did you just assume this made-up character's gender?
No, you guys did. And I'm changing it to a woman. And
how progressive.
So yours is what? Can breathe underwater?
Correct.
All right, the one I'm going to choose can breathe in space.
That's just okay. Well, you basically like you just could breathe out oxygen is what I came up with, and then
no, actually, I have a better power. So, like concussive absorption. So if you like drop the soap, she doesn't get hurt.
Mm.
Yeah, like dense, like kind of Luke Cage maybe durability. Or else being slippery when wet would be quite dangerous for her.
Hmm. All right. So four foot one, purple haired, yeah. Female. Wait, your physical trait was just that she's a female, that's it?
Well, we can add to that.
No, that's fine. It just seems lazy.
purple hair is not lazy.
I like purple, and I think it's. I actually think it's even cooler on a girl. But yeah.
Yeah, that's why I changed it to a girl. Right, I thought purple hair would be cooler too.
Yeah, she's Psylocke. Congratulations.
Yep, she's Psylocke.
She's a 4'1" slippery water breathing Psylocke.
So what do we call this character? Slippery when wet.
If it was a guy, Slippery Pete would have been pretty great.
Yeah.
What's the female equivalent of Pete?
Patricia?
Patricia? Well, that'd be Patrick.
That'd be Patrick, yeah. Yeah, so.
What's another word for slippery?
Soap.
Soap. She gets you clean.
Yeah.
All right, like Slipperia or something dumb like that is Slither. Let's call her Slither.
That's too snaky.
But she's oily and sea snake.
She could be like Squeaker.
Sea soap.
Skid? Skids with a Z, that'd be cool. The kids like that, right? No, I'm just kidding.
Soap drop.
This is terrible.
Yeah. Is there a name for mini soaps? Like those soaps you get at the hotel?
They're just called mini soaps.
Mini soaps, pretty fun name, actually.
Is your cat dying, Dave?
Oh, he just wants to get let out. I didn't know you could hear that.
Wow.
Feel like he's dying. Yeah, it's
not a heavy cat. Yeah.
Right, well, like if she's good, like it sounds like all her.
I like the name Mini Soap. How about a physical characteristic that she wears mini skirts, but they call her Mini Soap?
Well, that's not very progressive, Davin. I mean,
no, I guess not.
But her birth name is Mini Soap. Soap.
All right, she's related to Martin Soap, the beleaguered detective that Frank Castle always put in harm's way in the Marvel Knight series.
She's a cousin.
That character was one of my favorite characters ever in a comic that was not a superhero. I wonder if they ever brought him back in any meaningful way.
I'm sure he's appeared again.
It's pretty great, especially when like when Ennis wrapped up his run on the Marvel Knights series before he went to the Max series, where they just had the whole big like superhero showdown where like he gets
slippery Psylocke puck.
Slippery Psylocke puck.
I mean, there's a demon inside that makes you 4-1.
Yeah, I feel like something about evading, like getting, like not, like eluding, evading, something like that. Because her name is like, because she's her powers generally seem to be best used for not getting pinned down or trapped. So, sidestep. How about that? That's a cool name.
Slippery slide.
Oh God.
Oh, slip and slide.
Yeah, slip and slide. It's not a bad idea. You might get sued because I think that's a brand name, but sure.
Yeah.
I'm taking
sidestep and tucking that in my back pocket for
the slippery cool. Psylocke puck wasn't bad either, MZ. all right, let's do one more segment before we get out of here. I just had it.
Hey, look who I found coming to join the party.
Glad y'all decided to join the party.
Let's do the one where we talk about a storyline from the comics we want to see. We haven't done that one in a while.
We have a segment like that?
Well, it's probably like it's 97 when we talk about things we want to see in the series. We used to do that.
Yeah, you just jumped the gun. That's exactly what I was just going to ask you guys. I was going to say, now that we've seen the entire series, what is a storyline from this series?
I'm trying to think what I brought up already. I said I wanted to see God Loves Man Kills. I said I wanted to see Onslaught. And I wanted to see Cassandra Nova, I think.
Right? Okay, that's one question. One. That's not the question I just asked, though. But that's a good question, too. We'll ask that one to Dave. Dave, what's something that hasn't been seen in this cartoon form?
Like, what comic adaptation do you want to see in the new series?
Oi, yeah.
Age of Apocalypse kind of did already, sort of.
I would really like to see like a more actual loyal version of Age of Apocalypse, but I'm going to go with Messiah Complex and Second Coming.
All that Hope Summers stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'm going to go with Inferno. That'd be fun. Burn it down.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Get Magic.
Goblin Queen.
Yeah. Yeah.
You get Maddie in there. Yep. So I'll go Inferno. But here's a.
If the wide world of Marvel is open, I'd be kind of interested in like AVX or something.
MZ wants to see Strife.
Yeah. Actually, that'd be a great way to get Lawrence Payne back.
Yeah. He'd be Strife too. Yeah. That'd be awesome, actually. Oh, wouldn't it be fun if that's who he's voicing? All new character. It's Strife. That would be fun.
That would be super cool. That would actually be really, really neat. For fan casting, that would be right on point.
Yeah. Well, the question I was asking is, now that we've watched the entire series, what's a storyline from the series you want them to pick back up?
That's nice. That's a good one.
What's something they dropped, a ball they dropped, you want to pick back up?
Well, we already know they're probably doing the Cable pregnancy thing, and they're going to reveal that, you know, Cable is Scott and probably in this version Jean's kid, so there's that. But I believe they have said that they are doing that.
Yeah, they're probably going to do that.
I can't imagine they're not going to have Lawrence do Cable again.
Oh no! Well, if they're doing Cable, it'll be him. So I'm certain of it.
Well, what he seemed candid when we talked to him about seeing what is. Maybe it's just because he's, you know, being himself. But the idea that, like, you know, you think of it was pretty obvious that it's Cable's going to be a part of the show. He's probably going to be Cable, but he didn't seem that. It didn't seem like that's who he was going to be.
Well, he had those Disney snipers pointing at his head at the
that's
time.
True. That's true.
They drove a dump truck full of money up to my house. I'm not made of stone.
What do I want to see them pick up again? I'm trying to think. There's a few things that they kind of just left by the wayside that never really got followed up with.
Morph, obviously. Like, he's going to be back in the new series. It'll be interesting to see.
I'm curious as to why he's the white version of Morph now.
Because it's a better design.
It is a much better design. He did look kind of like a weird uncle in the old design with the parted hair and stuff.
It's like a 90s hair part.
You get that sweet, sweet 90s hair part.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great idea, MZ. Arcade would be super fun. They have to do arcade.
Oh, yeah. They've never done arcade on the show.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he would be pretty fun. They could do, like, I'd like to see a Mojo versus arcade ratings war. That'd be awesome.
And Cyclops and Havoc learning their brothers. That's another good one. Yeah, geez, MZ, you're better at this segment than we are. Whatever happened to Master Mold, maybe?
He's in there somewhere. I mean, we kind of got Proteus never really came back around either. And he was a pretty big threat at one point. Yeah, I mean, the Morlocks kind of got wrapped up. They can bring him back, but they're, you know. There's not a ton of super lingering. I guess Bishop still
Archangel. Archangel was kind of a mess, too. It'd be kind of like nice to bring him into the team.
Bishop's still sort of fighting for a future that's never got rectified yet, so. I guess of all the things, I'd probably like to see the Hellfire Club come back.
Oh, that'd be good.
They haven't really done much with them. Also, we haven't seen Pyro and Avalanche in season one. So
maybe in a couple background bar scenes. At least Avalanche, maybe.
Yeah, it would be nice to see like a real brotherhood of mutants. Like the classic
Mystique. Yeah, agreed.
Actually, I'd like to see a real team up with X-Factor or something that, because we just got a bit of a fight, never really got to know any of them as characters. I think it'd be more interesting to see, because like we didn't see Forge later when they used him during the Phalanx thing, but like it'd be nice to see more interaction between them and other X-teams. X-Force, perhaps, would actually be pretty cool. That's my guess. I'm going to go with X-Force.
Excalibur. We see Captain Britain for like a split second. Seeing some Excalibur would be pretty awesome.
We got Cable running around. I think X Force would be fun. Well, also we know Sam Guthrie now too, so
they could shut Jubilee off to Generation X, like that scene in Wet Hot American Summer where they just throw the kid out of the van at the side of the road.
did you hear Dave what we're doing for the continuing the show on in the meantime for now?
The movies?
Yeah, we're going to start with the Generation X.
Oh, the Generation X, yes.
Which I've never seen, and I'm sure I'm really going to hate, so.
You're going to love it.
Is it on Disney Plus? I can't imagine it is.
It is not, no.
No, it'd be owned by NBC or whatever.
Would it be? I guess it would be, but the characters would have had to lapse back to DC. Well, because a bunch of them are any of them in anything else?
The Gen X characters?
Yeah, because like they made up some new ones, didn't they, for that show?
Yeah, there's a couple. I think cases where the powers would have been too difficult, but
Me and my guest yesterday were talking about it on our show. When we were talking about there's a character he mentioned that was like Refrax, who was basically Cyclops but lamer.
Refrax.
what this is such a 90s sounding name. Refrax.
MZ wondering if they confirmed the voice actors would reprise their roles. Most of them. Yeah. So, well, I guess that's pretty much our show for tonight there, fellas. Mm-hmm. Thanks for joining us, Dave. Unless you guys have some final thoughts on X-Men the Animated Series.
Pretty it's great. Better than people remember, I think.
It really is, actually.
Me too. And the animation's not as bad as people say. When the A team's on, it's really good.
I don't want to poison the great discussion we're having about the show and all the parts of it and stuff. But as far as the 90s go, there are certain cartoons that have a lot of headspace, you know, in a lot of people of our generation. And this one is one that actually does hold up. It's pretty great. I mean, I still think Batman the Animated Series is the pinnacle, but this one is up there. It's definitely in the same. It can be in the same category. Like, it's definitely top five for sure. I mean, Gargoyles, the Spider-Man cartoon, Batman, and Batman Beyond, and all those stuff. I guess that came out of it, but Superman one was pretty great too. But you know, It's Dave's right. It's much. That's the one thing I think I took away from all of this was that the series, all in all, was far better than I really expected it to be. I figured there'd be some good episodes and a lot of bad, but I feel like it was the other way around. So I'm looking forward for it to continue, and I'm sure with the way it's all going towards the new season, it's just going to be a lot of good. So I'm very excited.
All right. Oh, wait, that wasn't MZ. That was R. Scally who asked that question.
R. Scally.
All right, there. Sorry, Scallywag.
Dave, what's coming down the pipeline for you?
Yeah.
Keep your shit.
Oh, yeah, there's a Tomb of Dracula tomorrow, and then I have a backup in She-Hulk number 2.
Ooh, hitting all my favorite characters. Alpha Flight, She-Hulk, X-Men. My God.
That's November 22nd. There's the final issue of Alpha Flight where I have a 5-page fill-in sometime in December, and then I have 4 pages in Century number 2, which I'm currently working on in January, and that's it. That's everything I know.
Fun.
Awesome.
Everything you can say.
We're not pimping all the other shows right now, are we, Devin?
No, the second.
Are you about to?
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't sure if you're doing all that stuff for this show, so go ahead.
Just quickly. Yep. But you can support the show at patreon.com and /X-Men Review Show and get yourself some sweet merch, like all these nice pieces of merch. Look at that. Magneto was right. Xavier was right. Magneto was right. Hoodie style. You know, lots of stuff going on there. And you can contact us at xmenreviewshow@gmail.com or on the Facebooks or YouTube or Twitch. Don't contact us on Twitch. We'll never get it. Find our audio only version wherever you get your podcasts, and please like, review, subscribe. We got lots of subscribers, but some more reviews would be pretty cool. Hear what you guys think, guys and gals. And you can find us at ufpodcast.com, Podcast Federation. We are a proud member of that has many interesting shows upon it, such as. Going on over on that side.
A new episode drops Monday with Marvel comic cover artist and friend of David Cutler, Kalman Androshofsky, who taught me how to pronounce his last name correctly during the show. Thanks to Evan for making that introduction. And super cool guy. We had a great conversation. He had a lot of nice things to say about you, Dave. So I want to tune in and hear about that. He told me he's a fan of the show.
And said, a dirty liar then. No.
He's a fan of the show. I guess he came to the show from, I think, the Word Burglar episode and then listed some older episodes. He said, based on my conversation with Dave, who's a friend of his, he learned a lot about Dave. One, Dave was indigenous, and two, Dave was from Newfoundland. I was like, he said he didn't know that until he listened to the episode. I was like, how did I get the first one maybe, but the second one,
we're more acquaintances.
Well, okay.
I don't see a ton of them, but I used to see more of them. But
he said a lot of nice things. It's funny because like he was talking about the drink and draws, which seemed to be a real connector for a lot of the people that have gone on to do big things in Marvel, like yourself and him. And, you know, he's at the Raid Studio there with Ramon and Perez. And Francis Manipole and a bunch of other people that were involved with that. So super, super nice guy. Great conversation. And super cool talk. So that one drops on Monday. And then I thanks to Davin, like I said, Davin's gonna be my new producer. because he keeps sending me great guests. After that, in 2 weeks' time, the next episode will be Ron Randall, who will be our guest. Who has done a lot of work for a lot of cool comics, Marvel. What did he work on? I remember I was putting together a package about what he did. Let me look it up here. That was pretty big back in the day. He worked on a series called Trekker, which was nothing to do with Star Trek. But
that's not a guest you got from me.
Pardon?
That's not a guest you got from me.
I'm pretty sure it is Ron Rand. Oh, no, maybe it's not. Maybe it's one of my own. Maybe I actually did do some work on my own show. Mm-hmm. But anyway, he, I think it was for the recording of the show that I discussed what he did, but he worked on Alan Moore Swamp Thing. He did a couple issues of that back in the day. He worked on The Warlord for DC, Aroch, Son of Thunder as well. Sergeant Rock, he went to the Kubert School and did, worked on The Unknown Soldier. And yeah, a lot of really cool stuff.
Right on. And also check out Hold Up a Movie Podcast. We're off for a few weeks, but we'll be back at the end of November. I'm moving, so it's busy times. Hence my fake background behind me.
The new episode was fun, Devin. I feel like you guys were very unfair to The Devil's Backbone, but I'm not.
No, it's a good war movie, not a good ghost movie.
But your reason for not liking it is like because children are treated badly.
We said it held up.
Yeah, I guess. Fair enough.
Yeah.
But I'm like Devin's like, I don't like movies where people treat children badly. And I'm like, well, then you don't like a lot of movies. There's going to be a lot of movies that you're not going to like. Because that's a big point for a lot of things.
But well, a lot of that movie is just adults beating the shit out of kids. And, you know,
yeah, that happens in the real world a lot, especially in war-torn Civil War countries with monstrous people that are unchecked because society's crumbling.
Yeah,
I know. I love that movie. I think it was great.
It was all right. Supermater Brothers, they're reviewing, you know, your reality shows over there. And we do the Merry Mater Marvel Society over there as well. And we'll be talking about Loki here soon because season 2 is almost over and it's been pretty great. So, spoiler alert on that.
I got to catch. I'm very, very behind. I see there's
you watch that, Dave?
No, I saw the first episode. It was pretty good.
I just saw there's a trailer out for Echo. I haven't even seen that yet. I don't know. I got to catch
it. Oh, the Echo trailer is sick. It's really good.
Really? Cool.
It's violent.
Yeah. Awesome.
They're definitely going to.
I've heard she's not really a hero, right? They're really just playing her up as a villain, kind
of. She's the villain. Yeah.
I'm excited
to see her. Whatever. I mean, it's an odd character to choose for a show.
But yeah,
like, it's just the way to put Kingpin in there, really. It's just
honestly, and this isn't, I don't want to be one of these people that's like, you know, they're trying to put as much representation out there as possible. But I feel like the fact that she's, you know, an indigenous character and Marvel doesn't really have anything like that on TV yet is kind of probably one of the bigger forces, I'd say, as to why they brought her to the forefront. But I'm okay with that. She looks fun. It looks cool. She's a good actress. I liked her role in Hawkeye, and I'm excited to see it. And plus, seeing D'Onofrio back as Kingpin is always great. So. Also, I guess if you like somebody said, if you blink and you miss it, you can see that Daredevil is in the series. So there's like a shot of him running or something. So,
I thought there was a scene of him fighting. He's just wearing like what his mask thing again, where he just wraps a bandana around.
No, I think it's actually him in the Daredevil outfit, but it's so dark you can tell the colors. Although the colors from what I saw in the still looked like it's the red and black ones, but in She-Hulk we saw he's wearing the yellow one. So.
All right. And check out our Star Trek content over on Live Long and Podcast. We're doing a first contact with a couple people that I think will end up on Graphic Histories podcast. We're doing a little meet up with Joe Eisma and Christopher Cicada. And talking
Cicada's after Ron Randall. And Eisma I'm talking to on through email right now. But he's slow to respond, so no big rush. I mean, I have like 3 people ahead of him, so.
Yep. So we're having those guys on just to talk about their Star Trek book they just did. So
if you keep sending me people, I might do my show weekly, Devin. The rate you're going,
hey man. If you want to go weekly? I'll keep them coming. Trivial Debates. There's one coming up on Transformers here in a few days.
Who's your favorite Transformer, Dave?
Robot Man.
Oh, he's my favorite.
Love him. Robot Man.
Yes.
Probably some of your Beast Wars, Rat Trap, I guess.
Oh, Beast good choice.
Wars, yeah.
Rat Trap.
The Velociraptor from Beast Wars is really cool, too.
I liked
Dinobot.
Dinobot.
I liked what the guy that came later. He was like the Airwolf guy. What was his name? The guy was like Air.
Maybe Silverwolf?
No. It's a guy that was like an eagle, but he came later. He's like season 2 or 3. He was like, they found a spark and then they made him thing. He's the one that kind of fell in love with Arachnia. It'll kind of meet him.
No, so anyway. Check out Aiming on Track. I'll be on there, I think, on Saturday talking some jazz. That'll be fun.
You and your jazz. And also
the Hellbound Podcast. Jazz is awesome.
I love jazz too. I'm not shitting on the Jazz. Just
are we shitting on the Jazz?
I'm not shitting on the Jazz. All I love right. the Jazz. I have many Jazz albums.
All right, good, good.
Binders full all of right. Jazz albums.
Well, that's all for this retrospective and award show. Congratulations again to all the winners.
I'm sure they're all very happy.
X-Man Dan, David Cutler hates you forever. You took the glory that was to be his.
Yeah, I'm sure he's very upset.
Catch you next time, everybody.
Next time.
Bye, guys.